It's been a long day. You glance at the clock as the big hand strikes 10:59 p.m. You stop to pour yourself a drink. No holding back. Only the strong stuff tonight. The crackling fire illuminates the room in a very comfortable looking sofa. You take a closer glance. And what's that? You see three men in bathrobes and slippers. What are you doing here?
All right. Just here for the pod and that.
Yeah, you know, the one you listen to after like that stressful day you've been having.
Yeah, the one with the three idiots talking about, you know, what they've watched, what they're going to watch, probably some other stuff too.
Am I supposed to say something here, am I? Or?
Oh, for fuck's sake. You take a seat, put your feet up, and listen to your favourite podcast. Welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of 60 Minutes to Midnight. And of course, the other two need no introduction. It is the other 2 Minute Men. Hello, boys. How are you doing?
Hey, mate.
Hello.
John's waiting for an introduction.
Yeah, well, he thinks that he gets this special treatment. I've grouped you together today, which caught you both off guard. I watched your faces. I'm like, oh, should I speak first or no? Both say hello. It's fine. Yeah? You all right? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Are you all right? You look a mess, man.
I'm at the stage of fatherhood where I will say that I've had not much sleep this week, and it's catching up with me on a Sunday evening here in Australia. It is catching up with me, and tomorrow I embark upon something that's quite difficult for the next 2 months. So there's a lot of anxiety within me at the moment.
Well, are you allowed to talk about it, or are you going to talk about it later?
Yeah, we will.
He's going on a diet. We'll talk about it later. It's a diet. Don't feel too sorry for him.
It's a super diet. So it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So,
Len, can I ask you this, right? Because I know that you've spent the day kind of parenting solo, right? With little Alfie. Does it annoy you when people say, like, oh, babysitting today?
I did refer to it earlier as babysitting for some reason, which was bizarre. I was just like, I'm just looking after my son.
Yeah,
but,
it's parenting.
Yeah, it turns out it's quite difficult to do it. So a lot of respect out there to all of the women who are doing a great job.
And men.
Because I was really... And men.
And everyone who's doing a good job
and
parenting.
Everyone, if anything. It's been a long day.
Here's a question for you. I mean, if you're not had... Is this your first day solo with Alfie?
No.
No?
Second? No.
Right.
Fourth, baby?
Yeah. Good. All right, so quick question. Because you just did it there, and actually, I remember it would sound weird to me when I'd reference my daughter. So that's my daughter. Does it feel weird coming out of your mouth when you say, "Oh, that's my son"?
No, because weirdly, and Mel picked up on this.
He's already had one for 17 years.
I say son to Alfie all the time. I say, hello, son. Good morning, son. Number one, son. Like that. That's what I say to him.
Obviously.
So it doesn't feel weird. Yeah, it doesn't feel weird to me to say son. But other people have said, it's weird that you say that. I was like, no, my dad says it to me. And my mum used to say it to me. And it's what they used to say to me.
Would do, yeah.
So, yeah, but like...
But the problem is, his parents have two sons. And they kept calling Len number one son.
Number one son,
they still do that. Yeah, that... Dad still calls me number one son. Mm. So sorry, Josh. Sucks to be you. Anyway, we digress. Wow. That's fun. Yes, I'm tired and anxious. So whatever. Let's move on. Whiskies, Gaz, what are you drinking? Talk to me.
Well, do you know what? I was going to lie about this, but I'm not. I'm going to be honest. I'm doing a Len, as we call it in these parts, and recycling an old whiskey. That I used in an earlier pod, but it's a good one. It's a really good one. And in fact, when I say doing a Len, you'll be pleased to know, Len, it's the one that Len got me.
Hakushu.
That's
Hakushu.
Ah, the, The Japanese whiskey.
The Japanese.
Interestingly, Gareth, I am actually also drinking the one you got me, the Lagavulin 12. And this...
More expensive.
...is my last drink for the next 2 months. I'm embarking on a fitness challenge, as Gaz has alluded to, where I'm not going to be drinking, I'm not going to be eating refined sugars, and I'm going to be exercising a hell of a lot. It's called an 8-week challenge.
Honestly, you know, part of John,
like body fit sort of stuff, you know.
It's the most, so, like the next two, it's just so boring hanging out with him over the next 2 months.
Oh, God. It's
like, you think you've got anxiety about this. I'm like, I have to hang out with sober Len. This is a shit.
Hey, I'm really fun sober.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, listen to the energy.
Go on.
I mean, obviously you're going to do this 8-week thing and it's going to go well because I'll give you credit.
Yep.
Once you put your mind to something, and then normally it's like working out or some sort of like CrossFit or whatever. I mean, you go through with it and it's like, yeah, brilliant. And they give you a little badge that says number one son. It's like, oh, you remembered.
Yeah, I did get a trophy last time. Yeah,
so. Thanks, Dad.
And I got $500 and a car experience in like a Ferrari because I won it last time.
When you say like a Ferrari, was it a Ferrari?
Well, it could be a Lamborghini. Could be a Lamborghini.
It's a Toyota Camry.
Anyway, so how long is it going to be after that 8-week challenge that you then have to do another one?
Yep.
Because you're very like up and down.
Yeah, I am. The reason this... So I did really well at the last one, last year, as I just alluded to. I lost like 9 kilos, got pretty ripped. And then I had a kid, obviously, which is just...
That always takes a toll on a man's body.
Actually, it does, you know, because I've been ordering a lot more takeaways and beers and stuff. And I just thought, fuck it, you know what? It's fine to just eat what you want at this stage because I know I'm going to be doing another one of these... Yeah, exactly. So I knew I was going to be doing this challenge. So it's all good. And you're right, John. I am a very cyclical sort of person. I will just do something for like 3 months and jump off of it. Then I'll do it again or whatever. It's hard to stay consistent. But yes, wish me luck. And you can see if I'm boring in future podcasts because I won't be. Worry about it. Okay. Anyway, so John is not drinking whiskey. He's got orange juice again, right, John? Because of the time situation.
I'm running later, so if anyone else is interested in that,
is anyone else interested?
Anyone else interested?
Please tell me.
Fucking Len isn't. Jesus Christ. So yeah, I decided not to have a whiskey at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. It felt wise.
That's fair.
I am going for a whiskey tasting. Next Friday, so we're trying like 6 or 7 different whiskies, the ultra premium version tour that they have. So I'll let you know how that goes, and hopefully I can come back with 4 or 5 recommendations on the next pod. But for now,
ooh, lovely.
The last whiskey I drank, which was last night during the boxing, was actually also Suntory. Japanese whiskies are taking over. And it was...
Particularly in Japan.
Remind myself. It was the Yamazaki single malt Japanese whiskey. It's delicious. It's so smooth. It's so tasty. You know, well done. Well done, Japan. Doing a good job. Doing a very good job.
Another string to your bow, Japan. Another string
Many
to your
strings
fine
to
archery
their,
skills.
Their bows.
Yes. For anyone joining this podcast for the first time, about all of the preamble.
I'll just
there.
Say I also went for a long run today, so just
thanks. Yeah. All right. People Gaz run. Whatever. Gaz runs as well.
Yeah.
Oh, he's shoplifting money.
Oh, dear. Enough of this preamble. We have some important things to discuss because we have been watching quite a lot of shows in the last month or so. The last 60 minutes was a Matrix Resurrections special. Thank you for all of the feedback on that. That was fun. basically, the film is terrible and we stand by that to this day. I'm never going to watch it again. So, but this one is back to the traditional 60 minutes style. So we're going to talk about what we've been watching, things we're looking forward to, and then of course package it all up with underrated, overrated, or overrated, underrated, whichever way you like to say it. I'm going to kick things off by asking you, esteemed Minutemen, what have you been watching? Gareth, why don't you go first today? He's just run to the microphone to say this. Go on.
You've not been watching that.
Too, I swear.
I mean, if you want to exchange, you know, our running data, Len, you know my runs smash you to pieces. So let's settle down.
It's all about that with Gareth.
Let's settle down.
I mean, I, if we were talking about strength, I don't know.
Speed, mate. All about speed.
Don't tell your wife that.
She knows. She knows very well. It's good. It means you've got more time to do things in the evening.
It's speed versus strength this week on 60 Minutes to Midnight.
So the one thing that I was planning on bringing to 60 Minutes this week was has already been covered in a Patreon special by your good self, Len. and that is Cobra Kai.
Sensei Len to you. Yeah. So get it right.
Cobra Kai is, I'm not going to say much about it because I think it's all been said by Len on Patreon, so jump on there. But I will say, it's so much fun. It's such a fun show. And
it is.
If you don't take it too seriously, because you shouldn't, it's just one of the most enjoyable TV shows out there at the moment. And that's what TV should be, isn't it? Like, enjoyable.
Ah, yeah. Cobra Kai is the ultimate comfort show, in my opinion. It's something that's 25 minutes an episode, or like 30 minutes an episode, whatever. You tune in, you know exactly what you're going to get. You're getting karate soap opera. And I mean, that sounds mental. It is mental. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
If you want to hear my thoughts, patreon.com/fancritical. Thank you to all of our Patreons who give us money monthly. It makes a huge difference. As we said, we've started putting some more content on there now. We're looking at, hopefully in the future, doing some more fan critical production type stuff. So stay tuned for that. But to do that, we need financial backing. So if you do love the show and you do listen and you do want to support us, please go to patreon.com/fancritical. All right, Gareth, other than Cobra Kai, what's this other thing you've been watching then?
Watch a movie. Well, actually, this is strange. It's Netflix are kind of packaging it as a movie. But elsewhere, it's been kind of promoted as a mini series. It is the stop motion animation The House, which is really fucking weird. And
it is weird. It's very weird.
And I really enjoyed it. So it's an anthology film, or perhaps miniseries, of three stories that all center around this house. And they're quite different in tone, but I would say that there is an overarching kind of dark comedy element to it. The first episode is about these people that kind of move into the house I won't spoil any of the stories, but I'll just give a bit of an overview of each of them. So it's all done with these kind of very creepy looking puppets or dolls. They're like dolls.
The people look weird, terrifyingly weird. Yeah,
small eyes.
So the first, it's really small beady eyes.
Very small
and,
eyes.
But big faces. But
big heads.
Small eyes and right in the middle of their face. Squashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you looking at me when you say that, John? and the first film is about people, a family, and they're human beings, and they are terrifying human beings. That's the scariest story. That is dark and creepy and has some genuinely haunting moments. The second story features the house, but it's set, I don't know, Len, what do you reckon, 70, 80 years later than the first?
Yeah, it's it's modern times.
Yeah.
So there's it's about real estate, isn't it? Someone's renovating the house.
Yes.
It's not someone, it's a mouse. Mouse is renovating the house.
Do you think a mouse? I thought he was a rat. Yeah. I think they're rats.
Rat or mice, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
So these are rats, which interestingly are slightly less creepy looking than the human beings in the first film.
Yes, that is true.
And yeah. but that's a very weird story. That one, I guess, very strange. And
yeah, there's a lot of symbolism with that one and sort of metaphor and stuff going on.
Well, I was going to talk about that because I think the whole thing is full of metaphor. And I was maybe going to ask if there's anything in particular that kind of stuck out for you. But the third film is about, well, I guess it's set further in the future, and it's sort of a post-apocalyptic world where the house is still standing, but the kind of London, it looked like London around it, is completely flooded. So everything is underwater apart from this house. And the cat who owns it and her fellow feline tenants, who are a quirky bunch as well. And that story is the least scary, but
that's the most spiritual, I'd say.
Ethereal in a sense.
Yeah. I found this, Gareth, because I sat Mel down and was like, oh, let's watch this. I've heard good things about this. I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and
Mel hated it.
She got about halfway through and was like, she said the animation's amazing, and it genuinely is. She said, how do they do this? So I said, they literally move it.
Just a tiny amount.
Little tiny movements. Yeah. And then they film it.
Just well-trained
cats.
And
she went, that must have taken fucking ages, but I'm just not into the, she's just not into the vibe of the film. And I tell you something, it is a difficult watch. I thought it, even for someone like me who loves creepy stuff, I thought there's too much symbolism at play here, too much metaphor, too much you fill in the gaps. Just to make it enjoyable, it wasn't funny enough, in my opinion. The first story is by far the best story. I think the best part of the film is the first 20 minutes or whatever, and then the second story and the third story get progressively less interesting, in my opinion, and less creepy, which is kind of the vibe that I wanted to go for. If it kept the vibe of the first story, I would totally have bought into the whole thing, I reckon.
Yeah.
But I went into it going, I'm going to absolutely love this. And I came out of it going, three bloobs. And that's just because of the weakness of the second and third stories. Mm. I still would recommend it because I think from a technical standpoint, the animation is stunning, like absolutely stunning. And it might tick a few boxes for other people who are looking for a more general sort of, story.
Would you score it in that way? Like, as an overall, would you score it as self-contained stories?
Mm. I would score it as overall, because that's the way it's packaged up, even though it says 1, 2, 3, and they're just chapter headings in my book. It's like when Tarantino does, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you count it as his whole thing.
IMDb are calling it a mini-series.
Well, they're wrong, so it's a movie. it's definitely a movie. It might have been more interesting if it was like 6 episodes and they were all different stories, completely different. That would be interesting. What I think would be interesting, Gareth, do you think they'll do a season 2? Because I'm hearing rumblings that might happen.
Yeah, I think there might be. I don't see any reason why they couldn't. There's definitely, there are more stories to tell.
But imagine being that guy having to move it a little bit. Yeah, we're going to do another series. Oh,
fuck's sake. Not again.
Yeah. You know, when he says that, I mean, make the rat roll his eyes a little bit. Oh, fuck. No, can we just have him do a blank stare? Because that saves about a few hours of my time, to be honest.
Yeah.
But there's... you've said a lot there, Len, and I agree with quite a bit of it. I think the first story is the best one, but
yeah,
I think
it is the best.
I think there's this constant kind of sense of unease and mystery around everything that is maintained through each of the stories, which I really liked. And I think the kind of, yeah, the visual trick of having the terrifying looking people in the first film isn't repeated. But the atmosphere is kind of, it's different. It is different, you're right, but it's kind of maintained in a sense. Like, it's about, I think that there's an overall kind of metaphor here about, like, to me, actually, it felt a bit like, this is getting really, really deep, but I thought it was like a commentary on, like, colonialization and refugees and, you know, trying to, or not trying to, but maybe being forced to leave your original home. Like, there, I think there is a lot to unpack there that that I think makes it a really impressive bit of work.
It's heavy. What we're saying is, listeners, it's heavy, and you might view it completely different to how we viewed it. So that's why it's interesting, I guess. And I haven't done what I usually do with these sorts of things and go on Reddit and just read loads of theories, which is something that I love to do. So I might actually go back and have a read of that. Yeah, The House, Gareth, not a bad shout. Not a bad shout for a recommendation.
Four bloops from me, by the way.
Four bloops. Interesting.
I have to say, so I watched the trailer and it made me a little bit sick, to be honest. I felt a bit uneasy watching the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just thought, no, I don't fancy this. It hasn't been pushed massively, at least for someone that's been on Netflix for the last couple of weeks. I've never noticed it, actually. I've never seen it pushed as like a top 10 in the UK. So I don't know how you guys stumbled across it in Australia.
It was top 10 in Australia for a few days. It's quite niche, though, and I felt advertising-wise it was quite pushed before its release here. I saw a lot about it before it came out. And the day it came out, I was actually excited because I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this. Like, I was actually looking for counting down the days to watch it. Yeah, I was buzzing.
Can I just suggest something, though, Len? And this is for you in particular. Did you get like a... It's almost like the reverse side of the Wes Anderson coin. Like, the colours are totally muted, but still kind of beautiful in their way. And like, the animation style is quite similar. And also, when there is humour, I think it's delivered in this in a similar way as well.
Yeah, that it's definitely got stuff going on that's similar. It's like the ugly twin of Wes Anderson films, if you get what I mean. That's the way I would describe it. Hmm. A parallel evil twin of Wes Anderson films, maybe. But yeah, check it out. Like, it's hard to describe until you go and watch it because it is fucking weird. John, what have you been watching then? Talk to me.
I've not been watching The House. So I'll tell you what I watched this week. I've been waiting for a documentary for a while, a limited series one that would kind of pique my interest. And not to have a go at Netflix, but there have been a fair few documentaries that have been pushed by them in the last few months that just have been really dull, actually. That first episode just killed it for me. And I know ages ago, Gaz, you were talking about the documentary about the hotel and the woman that obviously goes missing and then they find her in the...
Oh, no, that one. Yeah, that was sick.
Did you say it was sick?
No, I thought it was a good documentary. It was crazy.
Yeah,
I didn't know anything about that.
It's a true... Like, it is one of the worst true crime documentaries I've seen.
I remember it now. I liked it because I didn't know about the story and I was just captivated by the story of this woman. And that's what I liked about it because I found it really creepy.
So you didn't know the ending?
But no.
Yeah. So nope. I knew the story. This is the Cecil Hotel. And I mean, look, we won't talk about it a lot here, but it was, I did know the story already. So maybe that played a part, but they gave so much airtime, like 60% of their airtime to these conspiracy theorists that we know and you know are completely wrong. And they're just making up absolute garbage. Like, oh, is that her leg in this frame? And they spent 10 minutes talking about it. And it just wasn't. It wasn't anybody's leg and it wasn't anybody else's leg in the frame. It was just
whose leg's this?
Stop wasting your time with this.
whose brain's this, Danny? Who's left their brain here? Yeah.
Len has. Well, that's why he's enjoying the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Duh. Well, that's classless from you, Len, anyway, about a true story of a woman dying. But I've been looking for a documentary to get me hooked. And I recently watched a limited series, only 3 episodes, which is a bit of a shame. Mm,
The House.
Yeah.
We just spoke about this one, mate.
Yeah. It is a documentary, though, isn't it? Yeah. About the beady-eyed people and ratty mice.
And cats.
Yeah.
And cats.
All right. I haven't forgot about them. I don't want to hurt their felines.
Nice.
Wow.
Felines.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Just, you clawed that one back. It's okay.
Yeah. Just.
You should watch it, though. It's a good tale.
Pause for thought. Anyway,
all right, you're milking this now. You're milking this now.
Okay. That'll do. So anyway, so I've been watching the Puppet Master.
Whiskers.
No, come on now. Anyway, so I've been watching the Puppet Master,
I want to see this.
A story about a British con man.
Scumbag.
You just call him a scumbag.
Yeah, because he's British. Scumbag.
Right, yeah, yeah. Even before I found out what he'd done, wanker.
Yeah.
So, right, I mean, the feelings that I got that elicited from me watching this limited series, honestly, like, this guy, fucking hell.
You're in admiration, now, aren't you?
What a hero, eh? it's just one of them where I'm just like... And this might be quite controversial to say on this podcast. Just hang him. Because, you know, and I didn't think we were going to be talking about capital punishment on this podcast. Imagine if I'd had a whiskey. But we're talking about a guy that's pretended to work for MI5.
MI6.
MI5.
yeah, sorry.
And he's somehow managed to carry off this lie for a long time, and I'm going to spoil the story. And as much as, and he makes some of these people, he just completely ruins their lives. Sometimes you watch a documentary and you go, Jesus, man, how long did that go on for? And they're like, yeah, you know, he was in a basement for like 3 weeks, and you're like, Jesus, that must have been awful. And you know, I'm not going to spoil anything, but some of the, I mean, normally I hate the thing where it comes up and it's like 6 weeks later. I'm like, come on, tell it better than that.
But you are famously anti-time coding.
But in this, when it comes up, I'm like, are you having a laugh? How's it gone on for this long? And part of me also is just like, how fucking gullible do you have to be? Like, I mean, this story starts in the early 90s, and this guy has quite a good, like, hook of a story. He exploits things that are going on in British society at the time. Again, I don't want to say too much. Go and watch it. But by the time it's, like, the early noughties, that isn't going on anymore. So why are they still believing this, honestly?
Spice Girls are still the best band in the world. Come on, mate, it's 2004.
Yeah, Jesus,
no
man.
No one believes that.
Christ. We're all listening to Taylor Swift now, yeah? She's the best, right?
Yeah.
In 2004.
She's not overrated at all.
We'll talk about her later. I was just raging at the end. I was also very annoyed at these people that were like, he ruined my life. Because I'm like, okay, but you've ruined your own life, haven't you? Because if you're going to be that gullible, honestly, I don't care how suave or intelligent he came across. I mean, I take one look at the guy, I'm like, there's no way he works for MI5. But anyway.
I thought that as well, John.
Yeah.
No when I watched
way.
It, I was like...
No way. No way.
I was sitting there going... Because we were watching it.
Oh, have
I
you
was
seen
like,
it as well?
This guy, yeah, I was like, this guy's a piece of work. And
that's one way to put it.
But I looked at his little face, And he's so weedy and pathetic. And I was just like, this guy is not a spy.
Why are you looking
now,
at
I'm
me when
sorry
you're saying
if you are a spy and you are weedy and pathetic. I'm sorry.
Really wise in the middle of his head.
But also there's some really good phone excerpts in the documentary where you hear his voice. And I'm just like, come on, guys, listen to this guy. Just listen to him, man. What is going on here?
So, and this isn't really a spoiler. It's in the first episode. They talk about this guy's obsession with playing the same song over and over again on like a 200-mile car journey. And this is back when it was cassettes. So they say he plays this one song, flips
and
the cassette.
And I would walk 500 miles and I would walk.
It's easier to drive. So he puts the tape back in, plays it, and it's... I mean, it's a banger of a song. I was listening to it this morning. Ordinary World by Duran Duran. It is
great
a
song.
Fucking is... quality song. Now, obviously... Yeah.
That is
associated...
an underrated song. That is massively well, yeah. underrated.
Massively underrated. But they associate that song with him. So it's like they've made that song evil. And so they're just sitting there going, yeah, and I despise Duran Duran and this song now. And I'm like, oh, hold on. Don't ever go at Duran Duran. Don't ever go at that song. Just because this guy's ruined your life. It's not Duran Duran's fault. But yeah, it's a mad documentary. Go and watch it. It's very short. I will say, and Len, you'll probably agree, the ending... bit nothing, innit? Unsatisfactory.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a damp squib, and there's I find this with a lot of true crime or investigative documentaries that they never have the payoff. The ultimate one that I remember that started a lot of this fucking stuff was Serial. Remember the podcast Serial? And fascinating. I mean, listening to that for the first time, I've only listened to it once, I don't know why I said the first time, just listening to that was amazing. And then you get to the end and it was always going to be a disappointment. And I find that with all of these documentaries, they are always a disappointment.
Well, like I think there are, so I would say Ripper is,
yeah,
like I think that's a great documentary. And what's it called? The Night Stalker.
Yeah, that was just a bit overproduced. And I said this to you at the time, it's just the same. I've seen that documentary. The only thing about that story was I didn't know that. As an English person, I didn't know that story. And that blew my mind that that guy was doing what he was doing. But overall, I thought that it was a bit...
I find them fascinating, and like I know Making a Murderer season 2 was not all that, but I mean that first
I enjoyed
series
it.
Was quality.
I enjoyed, yeah, that was quality, and I enjoy the investigative nature of that documentary, like how they recreated scenes and stuff. I found that stuff that was awesome to like watch. All right,
what about the staircase?
Ending again.
The biggest problem with the staircase ending again. I'm a big owl theory proponent, as I've said on this podcast before. I believe in owl theory.
Going on about owl theory again.
Yeah. So that to me is one of the most interesting things, owl theory, and they only explore it in like a 2-minute snippet in like a little featurette after the podcast. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it's so fascinating.
Well, they're deciding to make that into a limited series, aren't they, HBO? With Colin Firth playing... the main guy.
The owl.
Hoot, hoot. Yeah, so there you go. Hoot, it'll be a hoot. Yeah, no, it won't.
Yeah.
Someone's died,
Len,
right?
That's good.
Len, so don't.
Well, yeah, good recommendation, John. I'm going to bring it to a more dramatic sort of scene now. And I have you guys heard of the show called Yellow Jackets? Yellow Jackets.
See?
It is... I would say it's one of the most talked about shows at the moment. It just finished its first season. And it's on yet another streaming service. Now, it baffles me how these streaming services can keep just appearing and actually having some decent content on them. This year alone, I've signed up for Apple TV. I signed up for Paramount Plus, which this is what this is on. And how do I summarise Yellow Jackets? Basically, a plane carrying a soccer team, a girls' soccer team, crashes in the wilderness.
We call it football there, mate.
We call it football. Crashes, and basically some people survive, some people die. You don't know who dies necessarily, but you see the timeline is like you follow them in the past and the present simultaneously. So some of the survivors and the whilst they're, you flash back to what they went through in the forest. Similar, it's got Lost vibes to it.
Sounds Lost.
But it's, yes, but it's sort of learnt from a lot of Lost's mistakes. Lost was a show which I love, as everyone who listens to this podcast knows, but they had to do 24 episodes a season. You know, that's a lot of television. This is 10 episodes, I think, season one. It's amazingly well cast. Like, some of the people and their likeness from kid to adult is insane. Like, I'm just like, that is perfect casting. And there's mystery. There's good mystery involved. There's creepiness. There's horror elements, Gareth. It's got, like, strong horror vibes, you know, when they're stuck out there's something supernatural afloat, potentially. And I'm not spoiling anything. This is kind of, you could watch a trailer and you see all this sort of stuff. rave reviews. It's got, like, a 99% score on Rotten
Tomatoes. So not quite maximum. Reviews.
Not quite maximum. But people love it, man. And I have to say, I'm buzzing for season two after just finishing it.
Yellow Jackets. Buzzing. Very clever.
Buzzing. That is, yeah. It's buzz. Yeah, and I think you both would really enjoy it. I think you both would really enjoy it. And it's not often that I say that on, because sometimes I think, oh, you might not like this. But I think as a watch, especially, I think you could definitely watch it with your wives and they would actually also enjoy it.
My wives.
Each other's wives or our own?
No, both of your wives, John, and then Gaz's one as well.
John's watching it with my wife as well as his.
Exactly. Yeah,
something so offensive. There's three of them. Yeah. So,
just to clarify, then, you know, the Yellow Jacket is like, that's what Americans call wasps.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Okay, that's why they're called the Yellow... The team is called the Yellow Jackets. Yeah,
that's
because
why
wasps,
the buzzing guy. Thing was a good joke that you actually...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, do you know what the problem is? Like...
Go on.
I'm not getting Paramount Plus. Like, what is this? In Australia, what... Like, John, you think it's bad in the UK, probably, but...
It's worse over here, John.
We've got,
it's
like...
worse. Too many.
Netflix. Stan. Stan is, like, this thing... Binge.
Australian Netflix.
We've got Binge.
Yeah.
We've got Disney Plus, obviously. We've got
Apple TV. Amazon Prime.
Brazzers.
I've got 7 subscriptions. I pay like $150 on fucking subscriptions every month.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's you got nuts. In trouble, didn't you? Because of all that X-rated content you were paying for. Hentai.
Pornhub.
Yowie.
Pornhub. Yeah.
Yowie.
Yowie. But honestly, boys, I will say
this. Boys,
if you can find a way to watch Yellow Jackets, do it. Okay. Gareth, you can get a 7-day free trial. I just Googled it. 7-day free trial.
Just give me your login details, mate.
Or I could give you my login details, which I will do because I'm nice. Sorry, Paramount.
Today's sponsor, NordVPN. So if you go to their website,
they are sponsoring everyone at the moment. Why not us? Nord.
Fan Critical into the little free promo code thing, and you get nothing off.
And you'll get fuck all.
You get nothing.
Right? You get this discount code was not recognised.
Sign up. Yeah. You can then hide your IP, and then you can just download everything, all torrents and stuff, illegally. So sorted, right?
John's opinions are his own, and do not reflect that of this podcast.
I'm just saying, if you decide to do that, that's entirely up to you. Much like if you decide to go out and start murdering people, look, that's got nothing to do with me, all right? So
nothing to do with John. What the other thing I'll say about the Yellow Jackets, just before I move on to something else, is you know how Stranger Things was like total 80s nostalgia, and same time like,
yeah.
It came out, the It remake, and everyone was fully into that 80s vibe. You know now how we're kind of craving that 90s nostalgia. This is full on when they're back. The crash happens like in the 90s, like it's 94. Full on 90s. It is awesome. Like clothes, music,
are they
loving it.
Talking about Goosebumps and stuff.
Maybe they do. I can't remember that, Gareth, but they might. Great books they were. I want to talk about one other
thing. Who's Sony Walkman is this?
Because. Hey, who's Sony Walkman?
Yeah. You listen to Spice Girls, yeah? Yeah, they're in a new band.
best girl band in the world.
Not as good as Taylor Swift. Look at, who's that?
Stop saying her name. All right, I told, don't ad-lib. It's supposed to be the 90s, all right?
Yeah. The Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus. Now, John, me and you did a Mandalorian spoiler cast for season 2, which went down very well, and people enjoyed our discussion on that. I thought it'd be remiss of us not to talk about the Book of Boba Fett, which, unbelievably, John, you haven't watched yet.
Yeah.
Why is that, just interestingly? Why have you not watched it?
I don't know. I mean, I was tempted to watch one episode this morning, just ahead of this podcast.
Yeah.
I haven't heard good things.
I would tell you, I was in the same boat, John. I'll just say, sorry there. I have heard very mediocre things. Our good friend Rich messaged me and said, have you watched it? And he said, it's quite mediocre, but I want to discuss the latest episode. And I said, all right, I think I know. I've avoided most spoilers, but I know this one thing. So I thought, I went into it this morning, and I was going to do the same. I was going to watch one episode to talk about it on the podcast. I ended up binging the whole, got up to date.
It's just you, and it's such an addictive personality. Honestly.
Yeah. And I will say, I was pleasantly surprised. I think it's above average for sure. Like, it's the last two episodes, you will love, John. You will absolutely love them. Episode 5 is actually brilliant. And there's stuff, I can't believe some of the stuff we're seeing in this show, Star Wars-wise. Mm. And I'm not going to spoil it. But let's just say, I thought certain things we just wouldn't see again. And we're seeing more of it. And I'm like, oh my God. What? And the main complaint that I've seen leveled at the show is that there's not much Boba Fett in it. And it's totally true. It's kind of like...
Too much Baby Yoda.
This isn't really a spoiler. Well, it's kind of like Mandalorian Season 3. And I'm just like, what's going on here? But it's pretty good. And I have come to the conclusion that Star Wars just is far superior as a serialized show than a film. And I was watching it and I was just like, the production value in this show is amazing. The talent, like, it's still got like Jon Favreau behind a lot of it, Robert Rodriguez, these amazing directors.
Get me on that.
The creature design is fantastic. Like, I was watching it, I was just like, this is Star Wars, but like 7-8 episodes, and they can tell stories in a much more fun and sort of contained way. But also, you can delve into all these like peripheral characters who we never got like stories of, like Boba Fett. And I've just decided that whatever Disney choose to do, like this, I am so excited for the Obi-Wan show. Like, I just can't even tell you how excited I am for that show. Now that I've seen what they've done with this, I just, I'm excited. And the fact that like Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor are both coming back for that show, and they're going to have another fucking showdown, man. I'm pumped. So, yeah, John.
What's the point of Hayden Christensen being in it?
Because he's in the costume, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like... Darth Vader's not walking around with his helmet off. I don't care how hot it gets.
I think there definitely will be scenes with his helmet
off. If it's hot.
I guarantee it.
If they're doing it in a hot place.
It's keeping him alive, isn't it? It's supposed to be like...
That's the other thing. That's the other thing I'll say about Star Wars. They need to get away from Tatooine. They need to get away from Tatooine. It's like you've got the whole fucking galaxy and everything is always on Tatooine. Just fuck off. Go somewhere else. Seriously.
Yeah, but it's like those...
Other than that, great show.
There are some people that just, certainly in the UK, absolutely obsessed with going to Spain on holiday. There are other places, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly. But you can go to Tenerife. It's £1 for a pint and everyone speaks English. Yes, because it's basically an English
province. Tatooine's got two sons.
You can do Blackpool too.
You go to Blackpool for that. Like, it's garbage.
Too many Spanish in Blackpool. Yeah, good point.
Good point. Hola. Yeah. So I will if anyone's on the fence about the Book of Boba Fett, definitely check it out because you're missing out on some serious, serious story developments for some characters that you love. It's not just Boba Fett stuff. This is 100% filling in gaps and continuing the story of some other really important characters. So do check it out.
So what's that? Star Wars, is it?
Star Wars. Star Wars. Yep.
Babu Frick makes an appearance in the season, doesn't he?
Wars.
Oh, very good. Very good. Ah.
Okay. Where's he come from?
Babu Frick. Yeah. That's Babu Frick.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. Good. Yeah. Good. Oh, so actually, and this is going to sound very random. Certainly coming from me, because I'm not much of a reality TV person. You mentioned going on this crash diet, Len, because you've obviously, you know, put on a few pounds or whatever. Absolutely fine. Dad bod.
You're looking fine, mate. Just embrace it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Just wheel yourself around.
None of us can embrace you now, but you embrace yourself.
Yeah.
Can't get our hands around.
Wash myself with a rag on a stick. Anyway.
Stick.
Shit, man. So anyway, New Year, New Me. Classic, you know, Michelle's, she's doing a similar thing. You know, like she's got a PT, she's on a diet, and she's been watching Super Skinny or Super Size versus Super Skinny. The awful late noughties reality TV show, basically to make herself feel better. It's that classic thing, isn't it, where like you do one workout in a day and then you're like, right, let me watch this. So so I've been watching that. Honestly, like, you talk about stuff like Ripper capturing like Britain,
yeah,
like what it was like at that time, and much like South Park does this gag where they find the frozen man from 1996 in like 99. And they're like, there's so much we can learn about this man and his time. and even though it's like 10 years ago now, 2008 to 2014 is when the show ran. Honestly, I look at it and it feels like it was 30 years ago. Like the fashion sense, the rather blunt way that people speak to one another, they're like crude food that people eat. Like, I might be wrong here, but do people still like snack on like crisps and chocolate like every day? I mean, because these people,
some people do. It is weird, but some people do. It's so funny, actually. Just like I'm deviating slightly here, going slightly off tangent, but I've been watching something from a similar period of time as well. And it's unbelievable that like these things were allowed. So I'll tell you what it is. I started watching Entourage, and that the first season of that was 2004, I think. So I'm up to season 4. So probably around 2008. And it is another world. It's a completely different world in which this TV show is allowed. And was as popular as it was as well. Like, it wouldn't exist. If it was made today, it wouldn't exist. I can tell you. I think things have changed so much in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No. But it is true. And that's kind of what I find fascinating. The show itself is rather crude. But then even like, so they do this segment where they go... one of the presenters would go to like a big event They went to the Horse of the Year show. They're walking around with like free like plates of food, and it would be like a spag bowl, a fucking chocolate gatto cake, and like a pie and mash or whatever. And they'd have people like trying to guess what had the most calories and stuff. And some of the dishes of food they'd be serving up, I'd just look at it and go, that's what British people would be eating in the 80s. Like, it's so old. And yet, like, I mean, just walking around with just a bit of corned beef. Yeah, corned beef hash. The fucking hey, ration.
I love corned beef.
And it's like, actually, so do I. But actually, it's like, how far, maybe it's just, maybe it's because I live in London and it's, you know, fairly, I live the good life. That's absolutely fine. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels like we've come a long way in some instances. And then in other instances, I think we're a soft society where everyone is looking to be offended by everything. So it's a funny one. It's a funny one. But I just thought I'd mention it there. And obviously, you know, feel free to watch that to inspire your journey, your dieting journey.
I'm going to be a depressed person not being able to eat my usual sweets and, you know.
He's going
to
be miserable. He's going to be so miserable. I can't bear it. But we should do that. We should do a little flashback feature in 60 Mins. Just go back. A period of time.
60 Mins already runs usually 90 Mins. Unfortunately, we can add no more features to the show. all right, let's go on to what we're looking forward to. And that is, of course, a thing. It's another fucking superhero film. I can't believe I'm saying this because you'd think we're bored of them. But somehow, the way that this one has been marketed has intrigued me. And all of us, I imagine, to the point where I'm kind of really, really excited to see it. And I am talking, of course, of The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson as the new Bruce Wayne / Batman, directed by Matt Reeves, also starring Colin Farrell as Penguin, Paul Dano as the Riddler.
Mm-hmm. Good casting.
I mean, this...
Good casting. Is good.
Great casting. I mean, it makes you wonder how bad the casting of Jim Carrey was.
No.
As the Riddler. Those films are atrocious.
They didn't know better at the time. They didn't know any better, did they? This is, you know, this is a post super skinny versus super fat world. And, you know, we're living in a different time, aren't we?
But boys, this one is genuinely exciting, right? Comes out March, start of March, I think. So not far away now. You guys buzzing for this one?
I was just somehow, for some reason, I am. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing it. I'm so superheroed out, as I've said so many times.
Mm.
I'm very much marveled out. So, you know, glad that we're taking a break. But I don't know why, and I don't know why, I don't know what different thing this brings us to the Nolan Batmans, but
Batman
just does. I think it's found something that I want to see.
Matt Reeves describes this film. The director describes this as almost a horror movie.
Yeah, it's gone even darker.
He describes it as even darker than any of the Batman films that have preceded it.
Batmans.
Robert Pattinson in this film. Just when he's just moping around, he looks like the goth kids from South Park. Like, he genuinely looks like that. Do you know what I mean? It is the most sort of depressed, sort of rebellious teenager version of, or teenager young man version of Bruce Wayne I've ever seen in the trailers.
Making goth kids cool again.
Yeah. John, are you excited to see this?
Yeah, look, I'll give it a chance. You know, I like gritty films.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe they should kill him. Maybe they should kill Batman in this one. That'd be good. Why not?
Well, yeah. What I will say is, we watched, we gave The Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix, which sits within, in the Batman universe in a way. We gave that maximum.
Gave it maximum reviews, yeah.
maximum reviews, because it was fantastic. And I, from what I've seen of the trailers of the Batman, I think this is the Batman in that Joker's universe. That it feels to me like it feels real. Like, and even going to the casting of, and we haven't seen the film yet, but we're just going off what we know. Paul Dano, fantastic fucking actor. There Will Be Blood, his role in that film, astounding. If he's playing that sort of character in this as the Riddler, I am so excited to see that interpretation and what he's going to bring to the table. So, like, in that respect, I like what DC are doing at the moment. Like, they're not necessarily saying, hey, these all exist together. But they're saying they might. And you know what? They're all pretty cool self-contained stories. And it doesn't have to be a Marvel's, you know, Infinity War saga. It doesn't have to be that way. They can be these isolated stories. And it's working for them. It genuinely is working for them. Suicide Squad, great. The latest edition of it. I think the Batman's going to be great. I loved the Joker. Like,
matter of time before they do cross them over. Like, there'll be something.
I don't know, man.
Maybe not this one. They'll do a second Batman where...
Well, there's definitely going to be more Batman films.
Joaquin Phoenix laughing at the end in some post-credit scene or something.
Whoa! What upsets me is they've been talking about doing a Joker 2, and I just don't think that needs to happen. That just doesn't need to happen at all. It would actually be detrimental.
Because from an audience / you're looking at that film as a piece of art, whereas the studio are going, fucking hell, that made over $1 billion. So can we make that again, please? Because that was quite cheap to make.
Excuse me, sir. Would you like another $1 billion? Yes, please.
I understand we'll make Joker 2. That John's right here. And these are the inner workings of Hollywood from watching the documentary series Entourage.
There you go.
One thing I will say.
Go on.
Because this is my major issue with the Batman. So have you heard all this casting news about James Bond? Like, everyone speculating who's going to be the next James Bond?
Paul Dano.
Yes, I finally watched James Bond, John, and I thought it was all right.
Yeah, whatever. But have you seen all this speculation about Bond? Like, are you interested to know who the next James Bond is?
It's been going on for years, and I have been interested, but it's got to the point now where and don't take this the wrong way. This is going to sound bad, right, listeners? They're talking about casting James Bond as potentially a female character. Now,
I'll get with the fucking times, Len.
I don't understand how the characters... Why are we having to deviate the characters so much? Like, there's so much... people are doing it because they feel like they have to do it, like, instead of just like just continuing a character's story. Like, what is going on here? And there's nothing wrong with that. Why don't we start a whole new franchise around a female spy? That to me is more interesting.
We did. Right? There's one with Rebel Wilson or something.
Yeah, no one watched it because it's not James Bond. No. So anyway, so the point that I was trying to make is. And Len, you've kind of got there in the end, but you're not that interested because it's just like, it's just the same old, right? And I'm kind of the same. Obviously, there's talk of Idris Elba, and it's like, yeah, okay, fine, mm-hmm. but he's quite old. He's quite old to be playing a new James Bond. So, but then it's kind of like, okay, well, the only way that would intrigue me is, does he then play an older, grizzled Bond? And it's like, well, we've had that with Daniel Craig, so just leave it for a bit. Now, the point I'm Tom making Hiddleston. Is, Tom Hiddleston or Fassbender, I think, would have been good. But anyway, regardless. So in the time that we've had two James Bonds, so Daniel Craig and Pierce Brosnan, so that's two James Bonds, and even that feels overkill for like the last 20 years. Pattinson's going to be the seventh iteration of Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've obviously had, so Keaton in 92, and then you've got Kilmer, Clooney, Bale, Affleck, Pattinson, Will Arnett in Lego Batman.
Yeah, but they're brilliant. They're brilliant.
Yeah, but that's quite an iconic turn as Batman because he got rave reviews for it. And it's like, what is going to be different here? What is going to be different?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's interesting you say that because we did Spider-Man No Way Home recently and we talked about the different characters that have played Spider-Man. There's only been three of them. And that's over the course of like 25 years. So the fact that there's seven, I didn't even think about it like that. I mean, what can I do differently? I mean, I think the Batman franchise, to me, Batman is still up there as the most interesting superhero that there is out there to tell stories about. For me, it's probably my favorite superhero, probably. And I am interested to see different takes on the character. Every time there's a different Batman, I see positives in all of their performances, apart from Val Kilmer's. So, and George Clooney's. No, that was trash.
Val Kilmer's way better than Clooney. Fucking hell.
Yeah, Clooney. Yeah, they're both terrible. I was just thinking about it. They're both awful. But like, I like some of the things that Affleck did. I like the super buff Batman look from like the comics, like from the DC sort of comics. He's fucking ripped at times. And he really brought a physicality to the role that I hadn't seen before. Didn't like the fact that he killed people because that's wrong. He doesn't do that. So I'm excited to see what Pattinson does. I am genuinely excited to see what Pattinson does. And I'm liking the mopey thing. I'm liking it. So we'll review it. We're going to review it on Fan Critical for sure. So stay tuned for that one. That's a definite film review where I guess we're going to give it five bloobs. That's just a guess.
No, Len's already decided, mate. You know, nothing's changing his mind.
Classic hype man.
Nothing will change my mind. I am a hype man. Okay, enough hype. Let's move on to overrated, underrated. Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's underrated? Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's overrated? That's the segment here for you now. It's underrated, overrated, yeah. This week, lovely jingle there once again. Some people still don't know whether Ghostbusters 2 is overrated or underrated. It is the ultimate example illustrating our point. Gareth, it's your turn this week. What have you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, mate. I mean, you sprung this upon me and it was your turn. So
yeah, that's pretty bad. But
pretty
overrated,
poor.
Len.
Overrated, Len.
definitely.
So
agreed.
I have scrambled a little bit, and I've found two things, but they do not relate to each other at all. I quite like to do a little, you know, sort of theme between them, but instead, two random things for you. I'll start with The Underrated, which is a movie that Lucy recommended actually last year, I think it was, when we're doing lockdown recommendations.
She doesn't know what she's talking about, so here we go.
Well, she did in this case. She recommended the movie Enemy. Did you see it?
Enemy.
Yeah.
Enemy. Who's in that one?
Oh, mate. This is it's the Denis Villeneuve movie.
No way. I haven't seen a Denis film. That's crazy. That's blowing my mind.
Starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ah, this does ring a bell.
Yeah. I haven't seen
and it. It's fucking weird. It's really weird. And it has it's not a spoiler to say it's got a bizarre ending, but it's got a bizarre ending. And it's just it's a cool, like it's just so strange. I'll give you, what can I tell you about it that's not too bad? It's about Jake Gyllenhaal discovering that he's got a doppelganger. That's probably all I'll say.
Yeah.
And that's enough to get it. It's I'm guessing it was like I hadn't heard of it until Lucy recommended it, and she was like, "Oh, nobody's watched this film, and it's brilliant." So I'm guessing it was like, you know, small budget, kind of under the radar sort of thing. But obviously, there's some talent behind it as well. And yeah, like I said. Because it's probably before Villeneuve became big, it was allowed to be kind of quite quirky and experimental. And Jake Gyllenhaal kind of likes that stuff, doesn't he? Even though he's obviously a big, big actor, he's always dabbled in the unusual. Donnie Darko, Nightcrawler, etc.
Prince of Persia.
Nightcrawler's good. Trash. Underrated.
And he's great in this because he's playing two very different characters.
Source code,
yeah. Good one, that. Oh, that's underrated. Yeah. Save that one.
And that is underrated. Save that for a future.
Very good
one.
Film, actually.
Cut that out.
We'll should we just do underrated Jake Gyllenhaal series today? But yeah, highly recommend it. It's unusual. It's a bit creepy and kind of a bit disturbing and weird. It's just weird. There are some proper weird vibes from it. So watch it if you like watching weird stuff.
All right. What about your overrated?
My overrated sort of breaks my heart because it's by somebody that I do love. The Office, the UK Office, is quite possibly my favourite TV show of all time. And I think it's the best comedy ever. And I love Ricky Gervais, and I love so much of what Ricky Gervais has done since then as well. His podcast,
he's a legend.
And, extras is incredible. I just don't like Afterlife. I really don't like it. And I'm not even talking about season 3, which I believe has sort of split audiences a bit. Like, there are more people saying eh to season 3 than there were previously. I'm talking about the whole thing. I haven't seen season 3. I did watch the first two series, and I refer to shows like this as emotionally manipulative, and that is that they do things because they want to make the audience cry, not necessarily because it is a natural story beat or part of the narrative.
Yeah.
It's they're just deliberately trying to be as emotional as possible, and it annoys me. And you know, the character, like, fucking Bellend, honestly, like, don't be that much of a dickhead. Like, nah, it's not for me.
Yeah, I think I love Ricky, and I love his stand-up. I love his general sort of stance on a lot of things, like animal rights and stuff like that. I'm fully with the guy, like, on everything he's done. But Afterlife, for me, after watching season 3, I thought season 1 was okay. I was amazed it was such a global hit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird how... And do you know what I do like about it? It does paint this lovely image of England.
Very idyllic, isn't it?
Little village, idyllic. Yeah, it's quite sweet. But, like, genuinely, you're right. It's just manipulative. The main character, he is an arsehole. And I've heard Ricky talk about in interviews about how the show goes from, like, really depressing to then, like, trying to make people laugh in the same scene. And it's very jarring.
Yeah.
Especially some of the humor when it's so over the top swearing for the sake of it, and it really winds me up. And he argued for that, like, life is like that, but it's not. Like, it isn't. If you're sad and depressed, you don't go around. I don't know. You just, these sharp turns that happen just don't happen that consistently all the time. There's certain characters in it that just are in it to swear and be disgusting for the sake of it. And he had that a bit in Derek, and it kind of worked.
Oh, yeah, Derek's maybe. Not good either, actually.
But here it just feels so out of place. Like his therapist in the previous season, who just swore all the time, I was just like, this might be the worst ever written character I've seen. It was that bad.
He makes no sense.
It was abysmal.
There is no sense. There is no context in which that character makes sense. Like, unless it was a bizarre, like, off the wall, like, alternate reality, like, oh, spacey, it's, show, which it isn't.
It's
that character.
It isn't.
No.
It's like, Ricky's got so many good ideas, and I think he articulates them so well in his stand up and his general Twitter presence and everything that he's done previously. There are, you know, Derek's got a few. It's okay. It's also quite manipulative emotionally, but overall, I think it works. Whereas this, for me, is just too, It's just weird. It's just weird. It's not right. Something about it's not right. And it is definitely overrated. I mean, if I were to score it, I'd give it 2 bloobs. And that is my honest opinion.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Now, is it overrated? Probably, but I guess I say that based on the fact that it's become a huge hit on Netflix worldwide. Like, it's massive. It highlights an issue with Gervais's writing, in that he's always maintained that he's a two-series writer, and then go out with a special. And I think Afterlife is the first time he's done 3 seasons of anything. And it's so... Series 3 is a fucking mess. Like, I didn't mind season 1. Yes, there are some erratic characters. I think that the more that Gervais has written, and particularly when it's without Merchant, I think some of the characters do become a little bit, like, fantastical. I think Gervais is always better when he's the erratic character in a world where everyone is relatively normal. Having said that, the Office film was abysmal, terrible. I quite liked season 1 and 2 of Afterlife. It is manipulative. But I quite like the fact that his character can be so up and down in terms of his mood, because that's mental health. Like, some people, they might come across as cunts, and his character does a lot, which makes it quite difficult to have any investment in him.
I mean, that's the point, I guess.
Yeah. But also, it's kind of like, it doesn't just, life isn't as simple as you meet someone that, it, like in the show, it's not that he just gets together with someone else and then he's happy now. I genuinely think he should have killed himself at the end of series 2. And most people would be like, oh, that's awful. That's terrible. But I think that would be saying something more. Like, I mean,
how many characters have you killed off in this podcast? You want to do it in
oh, I know, but Batman. Okay.
You want to do it Boba
but I'm
Fett,
just saying, Atlanta, do something different with that, you know. That would be doing something different. And look, without getting too depressing here, I was fucking gutted when Robin Williams killed himself, and everyone looks at him as, like, you know, this super hilarious guy that's always fun and zany. And it's like, yeah, but you don't always see behind the curtain. And that's kind of like with Afterlife. Okay, most people just think he's miserable and they think he's going to kill himself. And then the end of season 2, it's kind of going in a way where it's like, oh, actually, no, it's going to work out. So that's why I thought he should have killed himself, because it doesn't always work out. And that is life.
Yeah, that would have been a more powerful ending, you're right. But I just don't
But obviously
know.
You'd
I
mean, then get less of Ratty and the Nonce. Having said that,
yes.
And they are awful characters, and they clearly they're just having a go at toxic masculinity, which annoys me because I can't bloody help it. Do you know what I mean? but what I would say is the outtakes for Afterlife are hilarious, and oh my word, just any outtakes with Ricky Gervais filming anything are brilliant, because you're looking at someone that is genuinely loving what he does. And making everyone else's life a misery. But if there was any recommendation here, the Afterlife outtakes for series 1 and 2 are the best outtakes of anything.
See, I will
Derek
watch that. I think I,
will watch
I can
that.
Imagine that being great. But
yeah,
I'll watch that, but not
outtakes.
The series.
I love them. Well, that's good. Thanks for that. Gaz, thanks for your underrated, overrated. I'm going to watch this Enemy film, and if you haven't seen Afterlife season 3, watch it and let us know what you think. Let us know if you think he's gone one season too far. And that brings us to the close of 60 minutes to midnight. It is now probably 20 minutes past midnight. We're all very tired. I am at my sleep deprived end, So I'm going to end the podcast here. Thank you to my other two illustrious Minutemen for joining me on this wild late night ride. Thank you to Gareth and thank you to John. Thanks for what you've brought to the table today. And next time we all meet up for the next 60 minutes, we will have seen The Batman. So I'm sure we can dissect that, but there will be a full review of that out too. Please stay tuned for any content. Like we have said before, go to patreon.com/fancritical to donate some money to us if you can. Any financial help that this podcast gets is incredible. Allows us to do all the technical costs, get new equipment, come up with new show ideas, and hopefully in the future some little short fan critical productions. So please do consider going to patreon.com/fancritical and giving us some money. You do get some bonus content for that money as well. Thank you very much, guys. I'm gonna hit the hay. I suggest you all do too. Good night and see you next time.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.